You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
At Radio Rehab. I love this show because it's such an opportunity to meet people and hear their stories and their experiences and bring us all closer to understanding each other's worlds. And today the guests are, I have to say, my very favorite guests in the whole world because they're teenagers. And don't hang up and don't turn your radio off because we can really learn a lot from young people. I think the young can teach the old how to live. And today our guests are some of the folks that have been putting on the TIDE program at Memorial High School, and that stands for Tigers into Drug Education. And that program's been around for a very long time, multi-generationally, of young people concerned about their community and about their friends and family members that maybe have made some bad choices around drugs and alcohol. But there's a lot more, too, that are making good choices now around drugs and alcohol. So we're going to hear about TIDE. We're going to hear about their experiences and their commitment to this cause. And then I have some friends from Warrick County also that are just going to talk about some of the things they experience just in being high school and in their world, in their eyes, the things they hear, the things they believe. They are really a fascinating culture of people, the teenagers of our world, and they're incredibly talented and good. So I think we will learn a lot today from their discussion and the things they share with us. Definitely worth listening to. If you have any questions, comments, sharings, don't hesitate to call 424-1400. These guys are the experts, and they can really help us understand their world better than anybody because they are teenagers. So don't hesitate to call 424-1400. Call and ask us. Nothing's below the belt. I'm going to start off with introducing you to my boy, Matt, who I've known since he was a baby, and he's grown up a leader, and he continues to be a leader by the not just what he says, by what he does. And he's brought his buddies that are also leaders, and I'm just going to let them introduce themselves because I can't remember all their names. So why don't you kick it off, Matt? Just let the others introduce themselves, and we'll get a discussion going.
Well, hello. My name is Matt, and I'm a junior at Memorial High School.
My name is Ryan, and I'm also a junior at Memorial.
My name is John, and I, too, am a junior at Memorial.
My name is Drew, and I'm a junior at Memorial.
My name is Casey, and I'm a junior at Castle.
And my name is Lexi, and I'm a junior at Huntsville High in Alabama.
So we've got all over the map representing here. So Matt, tell us a little about what you guys are doing this weekend and maybe why and how you got started in TIDE.
Well, my sophomore year, they needed someone to step up as president of TIDE, and I kind of took that role. And it's been a great opportunity as I was the president this year as well. And we have meetings and stuff, and we do different activities at Memorial, and a staff of about 100 people are selected, and we go to the YMCA and host a lock-in for the feeder school kids, the 7th and 8th graders at the different feeder schools throughout Evansville, and we do a bunch of fun stuff. We start off with a mass because we are a Catholic community, and then we listen to speakers throughout the community, and they talk about their drug and alcohol, different things about their drug and alcohol addictions, and then we have a teen panel, and this goes throughout the night, and we do fun stuff throughout the night, including a dance, and we have blow-ups there, like a Velcro wall and whatnot, and we show them how to have fun and without drugs and alcohol. So we like to influence kids, and that is actually happening tonight at the YMCA at 7 o'clock, and there's about 197 eighth graders coming, so it should be a good time to influence those kids, and we definitely take it as an opportunity to help them out. And, yeah.
Why did the rest of you all get involved?
I got involved because I had a group of friends my freshman year where we'd hang out almost every weekend, and we'd go hang out with other people, we'd stay home, we'd play Xbox, and eventually one of my friends started to smoke pot, and we all kind of got into it, and we started to drink, and we started to do this almost every weekend. We stopped hanging out with other people. We got really heavily into drug use, and around the end of my sophomore year, I started to get really tired of it because I was distancing myself from a lot of other people, and there were just a lot of close calls where I was lucky and I never had an extremely bad situation happen to me. I was never caught by the police, but there were times where it came so close, it just started to go through my head what all I could lose and was it really worth it just to be messed up for one weekend or the next weekend. And I started trying to quit, and my group of friends made it extremely hard for me to do that because I would hang out with them and that's all they wanted to do. And if I was saying no, but all of them were saying yes, it made me feel like I wasn't their friend anymore if I wasn't doing it. And it took me a long time to find a group of friends that was clean and I could just kind of be myself around and not have to worry about being peer pressured into doing that stuff with. And I just kind of wanted to share that story with some of the kids that are going to be at Tide because I never would have thought going into high school that my friends were going to be the ones to do that. And so that's why I really joined Tide.
I started getting involved with Tide because, like John, I was running around with the wrong group of guys and getting into trouble and experimenting with drugs and alcohol. And I was playing, and once something that happened to me that kind of opened up my eyes and made me realize that what I was doing wasn't right was it was during the football season. We just won the sectional semifinal game, and me and some of my friends, we went out, we were partying, we were drinking, doing all the wrong things that we shouldn't have been doing. And I ended up getting in trouble, and the next week I had to sit out the sectional finals game, and there's never been a worse feeling that I've ever had in my life than looking down into 80 people's eyes and telling them that I couldn't play that week because of a dumb decision I made. It was the worst feeling in the world because those were my brothers outside of my house. The football team was one of the closest teams I've ever been on, closest group of guys. So, and I think it's important for kids to realize that their decisions make a influence other people rather than just themselves, and they don't always realize that.
I got involved with Tide because unlike these two, I got into drugs at an early age in seventh grade because I was hanging around with a kid that went to Bossy, and we'd always been real close friends. And first year that I came to St. Ben's was my seventh grade year, and me and my buddy went to Bossy. We went to Spain and Germany for summer, and so it was just me and him for about 2 weeks, and he was smoking pot, and he asked me if I wanted to try it, and I mean, I was trying to impress him because he was an older guy. He was about 3-4 years older than I was, and I thought if I didn't do it, we weren't going to be friends anymore, and I just wasn't going to be cool to him. So I started doing it, and I mean, seventh grade, I was like 12 years old, and I think I was one of like the first people to start doing that. And so finally I got caught at the Snowflake lock-in in seventh grade, and because of some drug dealer had shown up trying to find me to get, I think money. I'd let her blurry on the details. But, and it just, that whole experience just showed me how stupid I was being and how badly it could screw up my life. And so I started getting involved with Tide and with Snowflake, my eighth grade through high school years. And, I just think it's really important to start with kids at a young age to show them that how dangerous it is, mm-hmm. and how badly it can screw up not just your lives but your family and your friends' lives. So that's why I joined Tide.
And Casey, you and Lexi aren't Tiders, but you're concerned teenagers. So what brings you to visit with us today? Tell us a little about you.
Well, in this past like probably 8 months, I've been in trouble with alcohol for twice, and it's like really messed up my life. Like I put on probation for 6 months, and then Valentine's Day I got caught drinking again and broke probation. And I go back to court in July. I'm not really sure what's going to happen. Probably more probation and fine, community service hours, and alcohol classes. But
so you had the legal consequences already. Did any of you guys get in trouble legally? Yeah. Just lucky, huh?
No, I think all of us got off pretty easy. We didn't get drinking tickets or...
Did you?
I mean...
Well, a cop showed up to my house because I lost my shoe and someone gave him my name, so...
So you have met the police.
Yeah, I have met the police.
You, Lexi? Not...
No, I've never been in any of that.
So you're like Matt, not made choices around drugs.
A bunch of my friends are like in it, and it's changed them, like...
Mm-hmm. Their personality?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, my best friend from freshman year, like, last year, she started drinking and, like, smoking pot and stuff, and it's just, like, she's completely changed, and it's really sad, but... Mm-hmm.
So do you guys think it matters what school you go to, or does that play a role at all? Us adults, does the neighborhood you come from really matter?
I definitely think it matters, because different schools, you know, you may think it's a stereotype, but different schools definitely have more drug influence or less, you know, and I think that's true. But then again, it still comes down to it's your choice, and regardless of the school you go to, you know, it's your choice, and you're the one that's deciding, so it comes back to you, not your school. You can't blame it on anyone else but you.
I would disagree with Matt and say it's not so much the school you go to, but what group of friends you have. But like Matt said, I think it mostly comes down to personal strength, and if you can say no to your friends, like if your best friend walked up to you and offered you something, would you be able to say no to that person? Because if you can say no to them, you can say no to anybody.
So is that the consensus for teenagers? It really is the peers.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you all are trying to be peers now that make positive choices so that younger people can know that you can have fun and not do that stuff?
Well, I think if we show them on the high school level that you can still have a good time and make the right choices, that they will get that message across to them at a young age, and hopefully they can carry it on for future generations of Tide or Snowflake or whatever programs they'd be involved in.
What exactly is Snowflake? Like, I'm from Castle, we don't have that.
Snowflake's a lot like Tide. It's actually in February, it's towards the beginning of the year, but it's the same idea. The high schoolers put on a lock-in for the 7th and 8th graders, and it's at a different place, but it's the same general idea, and there's a lot of speakers, and it's the same thing pretty much, but just a different time, so we kind of get them a double whammy, you know, two different opportunities for them to make good decisions.
One before spring break and one after spring break.
Yeah.
I think some of the bigger high schools used to do it. Now they have Teen Power Camp for the junior high and the high school, which is the same.
Kevin has that, but I'm not currently involved in it.
That'd be good to get involved in, don't you think? That because it is kids that are making a commitment to not drink or drug. So can teenagers that do make those choices, do you have to distance yourself from them eventually?
Yeah, it takes a certain amount of discipline and conviction to be able to break away from that group of friends, and just it's probably one of the hardest things anybody has to do, but in the long run, you're better off for it.
Mm-hmm.
A group of people like that's gonna do nothing but hold you back from what you're trying to do and just bring you down along with them. They're not really looking out for your best interest at all, so good friends is the most important thing you can have in high school.
So there are a lot of young people that are choosing now in high school to not drink and not use pot or pills.
You can always find a group of friends that isn't going to be doing it. When I was trying to switch groups of friends, sometimes it seemed like just everybody was doing it, and I didn't know who I could like hang out with that was going to make it easier to not be influenced by all the like their opinions and them wanting to do the drugs and stuff. And it takes time. It really does. It's not just something that happens overnight that you just switch groups of friends. Mm-hmm. It took me close to 2 or 3 months to actually become close friends with people that weren't doing this kind of stuff. And that was kind of a hard process for me. So it's definitely not an easy thing to do, but you can find people that aren't doing it.
And it's hard because people look at you differently after you get caught, or if you haven't been caught by like school or police, but people know what you've been doing, and they just have a different view on you. They look
down.
Are
they more skeptical of you or trusting you?
Yeah, it's just harder to join a different group of friends because they have that opinion of you set in their heads, and it's just kind of hard to get past.
So when adults hear things like all kids do it, like a lot of kids' parents, I talk to their parents, and they're like, well, they tell me all their friends do it, and their parents know it. Is that true?
No, you'd be surprised how the amount of kids that don't drink or do drugs in high school. That's nothing. More don't than do.
I think you're right. The research has said that. Youth First did some research with the schools, and something like 7 out of 10 teenagers don't drink or drug, but the ones that do are so loud about it that it looks like everyone else. Same at your school?
Yeah, Castle's like that.
It just seems like everyone does.
It's like one huge group that parties a whole lot, and then like everybody else outside of that doesn't really do anything bad. Like, they're so nice. They don't drink. They don't do drugs. They like have a good time. Like, the girls, they have like girls' nights, like sleepovers and stuff, and they just have like good fun.
Good stuff's going on.
Yeah.
What about around sports? You always hear, oh, around athletics. Yeah.
That's... I think Castle football team is pretty bad.
With the drinking?
Yeah, because they party an awful lot. I'm not necessarily going to say that they drink, because I don't know for sure, but you hear a lot of stories.
What's the drug of choice now that's so popular in the schools?
I would say drinking and marijuana.
That's what I keep hearing, too. Alcohol and pot.
There's some harder drugs, but it's not even nearly. I mean, and mostly with that, you don't even know that the people are doing it. That's definitely kept as more of a secret, I would say. But it's there, too.
Well, like, in Alabama, I know a bunch of guys that dip, and it's so gross, but I don't know why. They think it's cool, and that's just, like, they do it in class, too, and you can smell it. I'm just like,
the dipping.
Ew, it's so gross.
Do you guys see that, too?
Yeah, I've seen it in class. Someone will have, like, a soda can, and they'll be spitting in it or something, and it's,
That is gross.
I've never seen that at Castle.
Do girls do it?
No, I've never seen a girl
do it. I don't think at our school.
Yeah, it'd be pretty weird.
Yeah, no girls doing it. So do you think those kind of things are gateways to trouble? Smoking cigarettes or dipping?
I don't know, because I personally am trying to quit smoking, but I do. And I've never even touched weed. So I don't think just because you smoke cigarettes, you're going to smoke weed.
Yeah.
I would say weed is definitely the biggest gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say probably 9 out of 10 of the people I would used to smoke with have tried either shrooms. I know some of them have tried coke. And a lot of them just get into harder drugs. And that doesn't necessarily mean they do them all the time now, but a lot of them have tried it. And with stuff like that, just trying it once can lead to addiction and can lead to all kinds of bad roads. So I would say marijuana is definitely a big gateway drug.
Is it pretty available?
Yes.
Yeah.
So all of you would know where to get it if you wanted it.
Yeah, people who have never done it could get it in 10 minutes just calling one person, probably, because then they would know somebody. It's really, really easy to get.
I think I think pot's worse than cigarettes, because I know people smoke pot all the time, but they won't touch cigarettes because they think it's gross. I mean, so you don't necessarily have to start with one and end up with the other.
True.
I guess.
So for us to try to focus on the gateway drugs, a waste of time and energy.
I mean,
It's not really significant. It's how do we get young people to make those choices and then help other young people.
Right. It's not necessarily one drug leads to the rest of them. It just progressively gets worse. You can start anywhere.
That's true. Once you break the taboo.
Yeah.
I hear the phone ring, and we'll see if it's for you guys. But any way that adults can do better at, what's the right way to say this? Any way that we can do better at communicating that with young people, or is it sort of like sex? Nobody wants to talk about it with young people, and young people aren't comfortable talking about it to us. Do we have a caller?
Yes, how are you all doing?
Well, hi. Good, thank you. Welcome.
I was wanting to know if the people that are on there now, are they still in high school?
Yes.
I think we're all juniors, actually.
Okay. Now, with the drug that they're giving the students now for... They're like attention deficit or whatever that is.
Ritalin, Adderall.
Yes, I mean, do you think that with taking that, drinking alcohol, and smoking weed, do you think that that drug makes you want to go further into drugs? I mean, you know, or you don't have to take that. No one of you have to do those kind of medication.
Good question. Are any of you been on medications for ADHD?
I actually have a prescription for it, and I actually know people that abuse it too that don't have prescriptions for it. And it's really, there are two kinds of use on that though. I know people that take it because they think they have ADD, but they don't have a prescription for it. They don't want to go to the doctor and stuff, and they'll take it before a test because they think it helps them. And then I know other people that will abuse it and take triple the prescribed dosage of it because it will mess them up. And so I think there are just two different users for that kind of thing, but that definitely can be a gateway drug just like anything else.
And do you think it makes them get into further drugs or
what, the Ritalin or the Ritalin plus pot?
Yes, the Ritalin. Because I work with a lot of students that said that they do weed before they go to school,
mm-hmm.
and it helps them concentrate mm-hmm. and all that. And then they say that Ritalin, it helps them do the same thing, and I was just wondering, combining them together and then the alcohol,
ooh.
Does it make them want to get further off into, like, cocaine and stuff like that, or does it just calm them down and eventually they stop? Do you think it's habit forming?
With anybody trying to do multiple things at once, I would think that they're just trying to get into a even farther into a different state of mind, and so I would say if they're trying all three of those or combining them, that they're most likely on the path to harder mm-hmm. drugs because it seems like that's what they'd be seeking, trying to mix them.
But do you think that Ritalins and stuff should be prescribed? I mean, do you think that they should even give that type of drug to people?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good thing. Except, like for me, like sometimes in class, you're looking at the piece of paper and you're thinking about something else. And the medicine can help you just not wander off, kind of just zone out on things. It helps you kind of focus sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think with a lot of prescriptions, there are good benefits, but you can use it the wrong way.
Okay. Do you think after so many years of taking this particular drug, when you do get to the point where you're out of school, you don't need it anymore, do you think it would be all right for you to say, I'm through with it, I'm done with it, I'm over it, and don't take it, or you think it'll be a problem for you to stop taking it?
Well, it really depends on when you think you don't need to take it. If when you're out of school, if you have a job where you feel like you don't need to be so focused on like little things, on like doing questions all the time or problems, but depending on what you do, I think maybe you should still take it, but it's not hard to not take it either. I mean, I personally, I don't like taking it because I lose my appetite. Some of the side effects of those medications, some people get really grumpy. A lot of people really don't like them, but they take them just because it helps them get good grades, and they probably won't take them after high school or college.
And then, after all, you're not being yourself. Wouldn't you just rather be yourself and just say, I'm not on any drug or anything, this is just me. I'm just me. Do whatever and say, I don't have to do this. Because it's a lot of children out there, they haven't been taken because the teacher said, this child is not doing this and this child is not doing that, and he needs this and he needs that. And then eventually you'll say, when it's all said and done, it's like, I wasn't myself doing that, I was the drug.
Well, I'll tell you what, caller, those are great questions, and these guys are great experts and can teach us a lot. I think when you're talking medicine and medical opinions, we can give our opinions, but we're certainly not physicians, and those drugs have moved mountains for certain kids. There is a high correlation between young people that are ADHD and an attraction to marijuana as their drug of choice. What happens, though, is if they're smoking pot on top of the doctor's prescribed medications, the doctor's prescribed medications aren't going to work. The THC in marijuana will trump the antidepressant or the stimulant that's there to help them with their focus problems. But you're right, it's all about figuring out who we are and being happy with who we are. Would you all agree? And isn't that the task of adolescence anyway, to be figuring out your identity?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
When you're a football player, that becomes an identity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, football in itself, or anything you get into, has its own culture.
Everything you do reflects your character, so you really want to try and put out the best image you can so that people get the right image of you.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the image of you is, John? If your peers called in right now to describe you, what do you think they'd say about you?
I don't know. A lot of people don't realize that I've been quitting a lot of stuff I've done.
Yeah.
A lot of people might say I'm still a stoner. Some people might not know that I do it. I doubt it. But other people might know that I don't do any of that anymore. But I don't know. I really think it would just depend on who you ask.
So once you have a reputation.
It's very hard to get rid of a bad reputation.
I agree completely with that. Like, once you get the reputation of being a party girl, it's hard to get rid of, because people, they call you, people you've never even talked to, they call you, hey, what are you doing tonight? You know, any parties?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you should, so you can take them to parties and stuff.
Do you think it's different for girls than it is for guys, the stigma, for girls that drink as opposed to guys that drink?
I think guys can definitely handle more than girls.
Handle it better than girls?
Not, better. I think it's just they can drink more.
Their tolerance is
a
little.
The guys that I've known that I've been to parties with and stuff, they puke way more often than the girls do.
So they can put a lot more away physically.
Yeah.
But do you guys think the stigma and stereotype is different when girls go off and become drinkers or potheads as opposed to guys?
I think people talk about it more when you're a girl and you party a lot.
I think you're right.
I think when a girl, especially when a girl smokes, it's a much bigger deal, but I'd say with drinking, it's just kind of looked upon as the same, the person either drinks or they don't. I wouldn't say it's kind of biased by gender.
Mm-hmm.
With smoking, I think it's a little different. I think some people look more down upon it when a girl does it than when a guy.
I think you're right. So Tide is really all of you as high school students trying to role model to junior high, middle school students, what? Leadership, or that you can have fun clean and sober. Do you focus on that in your programs, being clean and sober?
Definitely. And I think it's important that we let them know that they need to be leaders as well, because, they look up to us, and then you look at the kids that are younger than them, they look up to them as well. So it's just it's a big chain reaction. If you make bad decisions, people are looking at you. And so leadership is definitely something we try to teach them, and also to make good decisions. And,
mm-hmm.
We show them how to have fun. We give them an opportunity to have fun.
Another thing kind of shows is it shows that a lot of the younger kids think that everyone in high school is drinking or doing drugs, and it kind of shows that there are kids out there not drinking and doing drugs that they can relate to and that they can kind of look up to. And so it gives them an opportunity to see that, hey, not everyone is drinking, and these people are having a good time without drinking or doing drugs, so it is possible to have a good time.
What do you the word fun is so important, isn't it, to teenagers? So is there that we need to change the way we sell what the word fun is?
Well, a lot of people have fun hanging out with their friends or going
right.
to a party or something, but if you're going to a party where there is going to be drinking, and then you start to associate that with each other.
And with fun.
And with fun, right.
So maybe you all can change the definition of fun.
That's what we're trying to do with Todd.
Do you think middle school kids, junior high school kids, one of their biggest fears of going into high school is the threat of drugs and alcohol?
Maybe not the threat of drugs and alcohol, but maybe just the pressure that they're afraid their friends are going to put on them. Just going in with that.
You think freshmen are higher risk for making bad choices?
I think they are, because they're trying to fit in with the upperclassmen.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say at Memorial, they're probably a lower risk. It seemed I really wasn't around it until the end of freshman year when I was with upperclassmen, though. But I'd say kind of at Memorial, though, it's just because the freshmen are a little excluded from the upperclassmen. We don't really hang out with them so much, maybe.
So it's more sophomores at Memorial.
Yeah, I'd
maybe.
Say the older you get, the more it becomes more prevalent. I think with going to Memorial, we mostly get kids from the feeder schools, and we have a lot of programs like Tide or Snowflake that tell you don't do drugs. We get a lot of education on it with DARE, and even at an early age, we had a police officer, Officer Smiley. I'm sure that's not the real name, but they would come in and talk to us about drugs. So a lot of people going into high school tell themselves, I'm never going to do it. They They think I won't even be around it. I'm not going to hang out with the kind of people that are. And then they kind of realize it's the normal people. It could be your friend that's doing it. It's just, I think some people get kind of, they go into high school thinking it's not even an option for me. And then when it is an option, they don't know how to handle it.
So you go in with the mindset, that'll never be me.
Right. I never thought I would be smoking pot.
You didn't?
Never. I thought it was the worst thing. I thought, I might drink senior year once or twice, but I'll never smoke pot. And I was doing it by sophomore year, probably summer going in.
Wow. Were all of you of that mindset when you were going into high school? Never will I do a drug.
Going into high school, I was like 100% against weed. Like, nobody brings it around me. Nobody talks about it around me. Nothing. Like, you better not have it out or it's going to be hell. And I don't know, like, throughout the course of, like, my high school career, I became friends with upperclassmen. Like, my freshman year, I made friends with all the juniors. And the juniors that I made friends with turned into seniors. And then senior year, they all graduated. In that summer, all of them got really, really heavy into drugs. And so, like, I, like, loosened up on it and stuff. And, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm not against it anymore. Like, I've never smoked or anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not, like, is apt to, like, jump somebody's hind end if they have it out. Like,
so you got into high school, excuse me, and even though you had that mindset, you started to see others in the high school that had made those choices, and you all changed your mind then? Is that what happens, and you slowly kind of blend into the other culture of high school and marijuana gets more normalized, where once you thought, no way, it's illegal, I'll never touch it, and you go in, and it's...
Yeah.
Well, it becomes a thing of looking at the kids older than you.
Right.
Like the senior class and junior class and sophomore. When we were freshmen, it was basically like grade school again. We were still hanging out with freshmen or kids our age. But then we started hanging out with the older kids or seeing the older kids doing this kind of stuff. And we just thought of it as high school, normal high school occurrence.
So, it just shows we can really change our mind in life about a lot of things. Radio Rehab, it's time for us to go into a commercial. This is a great discussion. Don't go away, and don't be afraid to call in and ask these guys anything. We've got teenage experts here today, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Tom Joyner Morning Show grants another Christmas wish.
Please, 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 Mr. Joyner, I keep praying that you see my letter and grant my Christmas wish because I really need it. Tamika, gotcha. Merry Christmas.
The Christmas wish happens every Wednesday morning on the TJMS.
Mark, technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
Torn up roads can cause big problems for windshields. My last customer ignored a small chip on his, drove over a pothole, and crack! If only he called us sooner. When it chips small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Call SafeLight at 1-800-800-2727.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again.
Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
My car needs a sip of some smooth, clean, and refreshing high-quality motor oil, and I'm going to take it to Award-Winning Oil Change. At Award-Winning Oil Change, they take care of all my car's needs. For $20 on most vehicles, the mechanic will change the oil and inspect the car for safety and drivability issues for free. Isn't that awesome? I go there because they are very professional, and they have good service for good people at a great price. It's truly a one-stop shop. They're not the average oil change. They have a team of professional mechanics that take care of my suspension work, brakes, shocks, struts, and tune-ups. And why do I go to Award-Winning Oil Change located across from Deaconess Hospital at the corner of Harriet and Virginia? Pricing. They are the home of the $20 oil change, and that includes the free vehicle inspection. So stop clowning around and follow me to the best place in town. Award-Winning Oil Change. At the corner of Harriet in Virginia, or call them at 424-1992.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, we're back talking to experts on being teenagers in this community and some of the incredible things they're doing to promote chemically free lifestyles in their age group. And now I want to just talk to Ryan here for a second, because Ryan has been a football player. And I wonder if certain teams and certain sports associate more with drinking or marijuana use than others, Ryan.
Well, there's kids on the team that are into drinking, and they do smoke pot. But for the most part, like, they try to keep it on the low during season, but because they don't want to be beneath their game. So, I mean, they are doing it, but, like, not during the season, so.
So, do you think there is an association with certain sports and certain drugs? And how do you respond when you hear about other football stars?
I don't think that there's necessarily an association with, like, a certain team doing a certain drug, or because there's drugs all throughout high school. Almost every group of kids is using them. But and normally whenever I hear about one of my teammates or something doing it, because I've done it, I know the negative effects of it, I normally get pretty angry about it, because it's just pulling our team down, and we don't need that.
Mm-hmm. Is there talk amongst the coaches with the teams about being chemically free?
Well, the coaches definitely tell us not to. Like, they kind of have an idea of what's going on, but they don't really want to say anything because they don't want any of their players or anything. But, yeah, they encourage us to definitely be chemical-free, because they know how it's going to affect our game and everything. But a lot of the players will just blow them off. So
how hard is it for a teenager to deal with reality?
It's not all that hard at all. I don't really think so. I mean, you see it. It's happening around you, so.
What do the rest of you guys think? Do you think it's tougher when you're a teenager to deal with the reality? Because so much is coming at you when you're a teenager. But
I think it's really just your own choices. You can make it hard on yourself by choosing where you are, choosing who you're hanging out with. But, again, you can make it a lot easier by choosing to be with the kind of group like the people at Ty, the people that are staying away from it. With me, when I was hanging out with my old group of friends, it was almost impossible for me to not be doing it, and now it's the easiest thing in the world to say no.
So it was a switch that was easy for you. It took time changing friends.
Yeah, it took
time
to change friends, but once you have the kind of friends that are going to back you up and help you make the positive decisions, it's a world of change.
So it has to be a personal commitment.
Yes, I think it does.
So, Casey, a probation officer can get your attention, or a friend or a parent can get your attention, but that can't make you change your mind if you want to do it.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. People can try to change your mind, but most people are pretty stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Once they have their mindset, that's what it is. But honestly, I think once the law gets involved, like, it was a rude awakening for me.
Takes it to a different level, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, like, not only are you in trouble with your parents and, like, you let them down, but you're now, like, you're on probation, you have, like, you have to go report to your probation officer, and
yeah,
you have to take classes, and it's just a huge mess that is not even worth it for one night of fun.
What do you think about old reality, Ryan? Or Drew?
No.
Either one of you?
Well, I think it definitely has to be a personal choice, because most kids, they hear what their parents are saying, but they want to do things their way, and they just think that they... Most teenagers don't think that they know it all, but, I mean, mm-hmm. in general, we kind of have that mindset. So I think if you're going to commit to something, it has to be off your own choice, not what else somebody else is telling you, I think.
So do you think parents are wasting their time when they try to lecture you or talk to you about the do's and don'ts of alcohol and drugs?
Parents should find a different way to communicate with you besides lecturing. Because once people start lecturing me, I zone out.
So they lose you as an audience.
Yeah, because I just feel like they're just going on and on and on with the same thing that I've already heard a million times from, like, Dare and stuff like that.
I was about to say, at a certain point, you just start tuning them out because you've heard it just repetitively all throughout your life. And, I mean, it's good to talk about it, but not so excessively that kids just don't want to listen anymore.
Yeah.
One of the best things my dad ever said to me, it was short and it really made a big impact on it, was he said to me, it was right around the time, too, that some of my friends that I've been smoking with were starting to do some of the harder drugs. And he said to me, John, you're never going to miss what you've never tried. You'll never say, oh, I wish I could do that one more time because you've never done it. You're never going to miss something that you never experienced. So, and that made a big impact on me.
Yeah, that's wise.
I feel the parents' influence is huge on a kid, so I think they should definitely try to keep in tune with their kid, see what they're doing, because if you let them down, you feel terrible about yourself, and you feel like you've let yourself worse down. Like, you feel like you've let yourself down worse than you let them down. So I think that they should definitely stay in tune with their kid and see what's going on in their lives.
And I think a lot of parents' first reaction to hearing about stuff like that is to get really angry at their kid and want to punish them. But I know, at least when my dad found out, one thing that really made an impact on me was how nice he was about it. I mean, I was still in trouble, but he made me, like, realize I make mistakes. He made mistakes. I think it helped me get through it a lot, having my dad there as a friend and as a parent, someone there that I know I could talk to about it. Now I know when I do something bad, I'm completely open with my dad. If I slip up, if I make a mistake, I actually tell my dad when I do, because I know that he would much rather hear it coming from me than through the police, another parent. So I know now that I can trust my dad to tell him. Like,
so it's hard to go to your parent with bad news,
It's really helped me knowing that I can go to my parent. I think most of that is just from knowing that my dad will always try and understand. I might get punished, but at the same time, I kind of understand. I mean, I'm obviously doing the wrong thing. I can't just go say, hey, Dad, I did this. Oh, okay, don't do it again. There are consequences for our actions. But not making it feel like it's just, I don't know, him being so understanding has really kind of helped me through it.
Well, see, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I'm terrified of my mother.
She, well, that's good, too.
I mean, at a certain point, it's good, but, yeah. But, no, if I ever screw up, she is on my butt like white on rice. It is ridiculous. So I will never tell her anything if I do something wrong.
Yeah.
And
see, I think that's bad, because you want to be able to, you want to have somebody to talk to if you screw up. And
is there an adult you can talk to?
Yeah, there are, but I'd like it to be my parents.
Sure.
But
you can borrow John's dad.
Yeah.
Casey's mom.
Cool.
Yeah.
But you still got to keep your mom. I'm scared of her too.
Is she listening?
God, I
hope
not.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
So you've got the other extreme of a parent that's right in there with their eyes and ears.
Well, like, unless you're at that point where you know that your parent, like, you can communicate with your parents like that, if they're trying to be that, if they're trying to be that without letting you really know that that's what they want to be, it seems like they're being overbearing, mm-hmm. and you don't want to open up because you're scared and you're like, this is my life, and it's like, I mean, it's just,
you're not sure how they'll
yeah,
react.
It's just, it's totally different.
You got to know before high school how your parents are going to react mm-hmm. to things, I think. If you don't know them yet and they don't know you, you're all in trouble.
Yeah.
Definitely by high school.
I actually went into high school, like, mom and I not getting along. Like, we barely even talked when I entered high school. And, like,
wow, and now you're so close.
We are now.
Yeah.
Like, when I got in trouble, like, that was, like, the turning point in our relationship.
Sure.
Because, like, after I got in trouble, I just told her everything that I've ever done wrong. Like, all the mistakes that I've made, that way was out in the open. And, like, she made some of the same mistakes that I made whenever she was in high school. So, like, she understands where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't want me to become, like, in the position that she's in right now.
Do you guys mind it when we adults say, oh, we were just like that when we were teenagers?
I actually like to hear it. It makes me feel like I'm less of a screw-up when I do something wrong.
Aww.
To know, like, hey, like, because a lot of people idolize their parents for a lot of their qualities. And
sure.
So to hear that, hey, I did that same thing, and in some cases I did some things that were worse. I mean, it kind of just helps know, like, you can look up to a parent and say, well, I love my parent, and they did some of the same things that I feel mm-hmm. awful about now. So it kind of helps you feel better about yourself.
Like, when you're little, like, your parents are, like, perfect. So
yeah.
When you get older and you start making mistakes, and you're like, well, I can't have a relationship with whatever, and if you know that they've, like, definitely weren't perfect, it kind of helps make that connection between you and your parents.
Mm-hmm. It can be a turning point,
mm-hmm.
like Casey and her mom.
Like, see,
and
I like that line. I just don't like it when they use it to make you feel guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's when I don't like it.
The guilt trips.
Yeah.
Oh, God, but
awful.
You guys are good at those, too. That works both ways, doesn't it?
I'm pretty bad at them. It never works.
Making them feel guilty?
Yeah.
It doesn't work?
No, not for me, at least. I must be bad at it.
Maybe we need to do a workshop on how to make your parents feel guilty.
Sounds good if it gets me out of trouble.
It makes my life easier.
You're for that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you guys think in the big picture of things, parents and us adults? I mean, do you think even money has, I mean, you guys have reputations of being in the schools where all the rich kids are. Do you think that makes a difference, really, when it comes down to anything? How much money or you have or don't have?
I would say sometimes. I mean, kind of in, not every time, but I mean, there are kids that, I know, I'm not going to say any names, but there was a guy that was buying like $500 worth of weed like once a month, twice a month, and some of that money came from him, others his parents were giving to him, not knowing what, like, that's what it was going for. But that's kind of a rare case. I would say if money really came into it at all, it's kind of if you just can't afford to do it at all, because drugs are a very expensive thing to get into. Also, you throw away so much money just for a temporary, like, mm-hmm. a temporary feeling you could just waste all your money on. And so maybe it's not so much of it's really pernicious, more of if you can decide I can afford to do this or not to.
They got the money to
right.
to go for it.
On the same thing, I mean, there's a lot of kids that go to Memorial that aren't that well off.
Right, but
I
it's
mean,
the
rep, yeah.
it's the image. It's, there's
it's
some
just the all-around image
yeah.
of Memorial that I guess makes us kind of seem, I don't know,
unique
classy.
In that way.
Classy. Yeah.
But so do you think, yes, money does play a role in whether or not young people will make those choices or not? Because if you have the money, it's more available? Or
well, I think if you want it, you're going to find a way to get it.
Yeah. Whether you have the money or not.
Whether you have the money or not, you'll
yeah.
find.
And whether that means you're going to make money doing something, it's if you decide that that's what you want, you'll figure out a way to get to that.
Mm-hmm. If you want a buzz, you're going to find
right.
a buzz.
Right,
exactly.
So what do you think we need to do as partners with the young and the old in our community, in all parts of our communities, the east side, west side, inner city, outer city? What? How can we partner better?
I honestly think getting the colleges to settle down would help with, like, the chain that Matt was talking about earlier. Because, like, high schoolers look up to college kids and, oh, like, college is, like, the party life and da-da-da-da. But junior highs look up at the high schoolers and try to follow the college kids. So, like, people are starting young and, like, younger every year with, like, the stuff that they're doing.
So, you think we need to start it in the academic systems from
because
the top,
like,
down?
You hear about all this, like, stuff going on at colleges that are illegal, but nobody ever gets in trouble for it.
Well, you don't hear about it. I think they do, but you don't hear as much about it. And our drug court in Warwick County, they're all college-age kids now.
I think, like, if you
that
heard
we
more
see.
About the college part is getting busted.
What do you all think? You all agree?
I would definitely agree with what she said. You look like the kind of stereotypical image of college is I'm going to go there and just party my butt off just all the time. And you don't really like a lot of people, they kind of, in the movies you see and stuff, and I think it's probably a false image, but it just gets so firmly planted as like an image of college that you look at that and then you like, and then the movie just looks so fun. You want to do it, and then so you're doing it in high school, and then like what she said, the kids that are younger than you are looking at you and are like, oh, I want to do it too, and it's just a chain until, I mean, so I think starting at the top would be a definite.
So the academic systems definitely need our attention, because you don't hear about Bristol Myers or Alcoa or doctor's offices out partying, but you do hear about college kids in high school, that's part of their culture.
I don't think I ever would have been interested. I can't, outside of school and the things that I've done through school, that's all the only way I've really been introduced to any type of drug. I mean, not at school, but like through people I met at school, like that. So I think it's definitely like through the academics that my drug kind of availability came from.
Do you all agree? If that's a good place to see a captive audience, the schools. Where else do you get a captive audience?
Yeah.
Churches on Sundays. Maybe ministers need to start talking about it more, and priests and my rabbi. Maybe we need to talk more about, you know, promoting chemically free families. But schools are definitely where there's thousands of kids on a weekly basis.
I think a lot of kids, it doesn't hit them until something really bad happens.
Does that have to be the way it is? You're right. I hear that everywhere.
Some people, it really is the way it has to be. They just don't care until it becomes such in their face, it can happen to you. I mean, it could. I know people where it's happened to their best friends, to a family member, where something awful will happen, and they'll do the exact same thing. I mean,
I
have a friend
who
bad happened to a family member, and they still make the same mistake almost on a weekly basis, and it's... It blows my mind, because I just think, how could you do that? You risk your own life, other people's lives, doing some of the things you do, and it's just, I think some people, it just takes something really bad's going to happen to you, and all you can really do for some people is just to pray.
That's what it was like for me. Like, I don't think if I would have gotten caught, like, if I would have gotten caught drinking, I'd still be going to parties all the time.
And it had to be the law?
Yeah, because, like, my parents, like, I'm not scared of them.
Yeah. The law got your attention.
Yeah, because, like, that messes up. Like, it could, like, make where I can go to college and stuff. Scholarships for college. And keep me from getting a job. Like, I'm thankful that happened before I was 18. But still, like, that's a huge smack in the face for me.
Do you guys agree with that, too? Something has to happen to shake your reality out
of
it.
I'm a big believer in learning through personal experience. I think that's the most important, or that's the most effective way of getting a message across. If it happens to you, you're gonna realize how bad it is.
Well, in teens especially, I think that it needs to be a personal experience, because I think it has to do with maturity, being able to say, like, to realize that this is real life, high school or not, it's real life, it can happen to you and it can mess up your entire life. And that's kind of hard to realize when all you do, or not all you do, but where you just kind of go to school and it's, you don't feel like you're on your own, you're not an adult, you're still a kid, and you kind of feel kind of more secure in doing these things, as if you couldn't, something that bad couldn't happen to you right now.
Do you agree too? Something has to happen. What happened to you? Your peers, and you felt you let your team down.
Yeah, I got in trouble and had to miss my football, our sectional championship football game 2 years ago, and that was what happened to me. And I know that, like, I probably would still be doing what I was doing if I never had that consequence and having that feeling of guilt of letting my team down and not being able to rely on me like they could before. So I feel something definitely. It's an eye-opening experience is what generally gets people to stop. But
you just brought a good point out, consequence. So really, when we do force young people to suffer the consequence, that might help them hit their bottom quicker. You said that has to be a personal experience. When we enable them and let them off the hook all the time, or, you know, make excuses for them, that's not really helping them. When they have a consequence, that gets their attention.
Whenever you're letting people off the hook, it generally just makes things worse, because they're like, oh, my parents don't care. I got caught drinking. They really don't care. I can just do the same thing again, and I won't have any consequences.
Interesting.
And see, I think there's a very fine line with that, because when you give your kid the impression, oh, it's okay, I'm not going to do anything, like, it might be their first time, and so I'm not going to get on to you real bad, and you don't get in too much trouble, it really does give off that, like, kind of message. It's okay, it's not that big of a deal.
I did it too.
Yeah, but I think you really got to be able to, you really got to send the message that it's wrong, but at the same time, you don't want your kid to feel as if they can't come to you with those problems either.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think it's kind of you got to go in between.
Yeah. Go with the consequence, but choose your words wisely while you're kicking them in the butt, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think being afraid of your parents is not such a bad thing? Maybe more kids need to be afraid of their parents.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, I'm like I said, I'm scared of my mom. She's so, I don't even know the word for it, but
angelic.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But
a Gestapo mom. All right.
I'd like to have somebody, or I'd like to be able to go and tell her mom I screwed up. But
have you ever tried it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
So you are.
And
experience.
That was the last time it ever happened, because she.
Your mom need to come talk to Lisa.
Yeah, come on the radio show.
Well, yeah, mom. I don't know how well that'd work with us, but
it's hard to raise your parents, isn't it?
Yeah. But if she would just be able to, like, calm down and listen to what I'm saying.
Does she get hysterical?
Not hysterical,
just
but
worried,
she.
Worried. I mean, just.
Angry,
okay.
angry, and we just get into screaming matches all the time, on a daily basis, over small things that shouldn't even matter. And I just don't want to talk to her about anything. I want to avoid her like the plague.
Right.
And I don't think it should be like that. But a certain amount of fear is, I think, a good thing.
Mm-hmm. You have to be fearful of your parents, because you always want that fear, just to know that you're going to be just so you know that there are going to be consequences from somewhere. I think it's good, but you don't want to be so scared of them that you're afraid to go to them when you have a problem.
Well, the main commandment, honor thy mother and father.
Right.
I think that's important that we have that, and it does take some element of respect, which fear, you know, might play into, but not paralyzed fear where you can't even go to them without them exploding into World War III.
And honor, I think, is another, like, respect is a big thing, too. You have to be able to respect your parents. And so from, like, a parent's standpoint, you really got to make sure that you're earning the respect of your kid. I mean, respect is earned,
it's
not given.
It's both ways, that's
right. And so you got to be able to, like, as a parent, I think you really need to be able to, like, kind of give them, show them what, like, a good image of, so that when you need to say you can't be doing this, that you're not doing it. Or
what if your parent's a drinker or a drugger?
It's a lot harder to take them seriously.
Yeah.
For a long time, that was kind of the case. My daddy was a very heavy drinker, and so with drinking for me, his was kind of a problem to where I thought, I don't want to do it because it's such an issue and I don't like it. But at the same time, it's just like you look up to your dad so much, and he's doing it, so couldn't I, though? And my dad was still successful. It wasn't so. I mean,
it didn't make his life unmanageable.
Right,
he didn't.
But he still had a very large problem with it.
Yeah.
And so I think.
So it's easier to justify it when you watch your parent do it. That's for sure.
And it made it a lot less. It was harder to take it seriously when he said, "You can't be doing this stuff," when he might be doing it at that very moment.
Right.
It's
hypocritical,
just,
almost.
Yeah, it's just like, how can you tell me not to drink when you drink yourself? And so
sure.
I think it's a big deal for a parent to be able to say, don't do this, and show them why you shouldn't, or show them that you don't have to, or just be a good role model even as a parent.
That's a good point you all are making, and I think we do need to always be looking at the way we role model and live, too.
Yep.
You know, we can throw out all the do's and don'ts to you guys, but we have to live it if we're going to teach it.
And my dad has actually been sober for a year now, and I've been really proud of him. And that was one of the biggest reasons I was able to quit doing my thing. It was Like, that's my awesome. Dad did it with something that he'd struggled with for mm-hmm. years and years and years since almost he was in high school, and it really empowered me to know that I can do the same thing my dad did.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in closing, we've got like 1 minute left. Is there anything any of you guys want to say? Thank you so much for being candid. We need to listen more to you guys, not less, no doubt about it. Any last minute thoughts?
I guess just thanks for letting us talk.
Yeah, shout out to the Memorial Tigers.
There you go.
Shout out Memorial. Yes, and shout outs to all your parents that have walked you through all the challenges. And yep. Radio Rehab audience, pray for these guys tonight. They're trying to make a difference for a couple hundred other young people. Pray that they can be good leaders and stay successful and clean and sober. Thank you all for listening. If you want to hear this interview on the World Wide Web, they will be on www.lisaseifcares.net. Hit podcast and you'll hear the Radio Rehab here with our teen experts. If you have questions or concerns, complaints, or anything we need to know, you can also email radiorehab@yahoo.com. And now, thanks to Allison, our producer, Radio Rehab is on Facebook. So you can get to us and ask any of these guys anything, and any of the guests are pretty candid about where to go and share our experiences. Thanks for listening. Good luck tonight with your lock-in. Good luck in Alabama and with you at Castle, continuing on, doing what you guys do. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. And until next Saturday, you all, don't forget to do the next right thing.